Well, welcome back to the GoTo Podcast. It's an honour to be joined by the wonderful Georgie Williams,
hey.
AKA Forgotten Delights.
Hi.
Now, Georgie, you've got some, you know, wonderful stories to tell us today, but the main one, I would say, Ben, is when you walked into a South London antique shop and you buy this cabinet and then suddenly take it home. You're pretty happy. You probably got quite a good price in it, but then something magical was lying within it.
Yeah, there was like a diary inside, which it was like a woman's handwritten diary with a recipe on each day of the year. And it was dated 1968. So I was like, this is pretty incredible. I had it for about 2 years before I did anything with it, and then decided to start the Instagram, Forgotten Delights, to sort of work my way through the recipes. And yeah, just see where it took me.
Did you flick through it immediately as soon as you exposed it from the drawer?
Yeah, I did. I was like, this is incredible. And like, I'm a huge fan of like anything that's like handwritten. Like I've always been a letter writer. Even now I like always write letters, send postcards. So like anything that's like sentimental.
Yeah.
Or handwritten. And if it has anything to do with food too, I'm just like hooked.
Well, we haven't got a letter yet, have
we? Such a nice thing. No. Yeah, I will send you, I once... It's the worst thing I've ever done. It makes me very sad. This podcast isn't really about me, but can I
No, it share? Is about you. Please, yeah.
I went out. I was just become a chef, and I went to a bar, nightclub, and I'm not a painting, right? This doesn't normally happen. And this beautiful woman was very interested in me, said she recognized me from the restaurant I worked at. And we had this like amazing night, and she was telling me she was like a Burberry model, and I was like, if I'm going to jump out of a thing and like prank me at some point,
that
didn't happen. And it was going so well, and I was getting more and more drunk. And at the end, she was telling me how she loved like old-fashioned stuff and all this stuff. And so at the end, she asked for my number, and I was like, no. Why don't you just give me your address? I'll send you a letter.
Oh, we could like carry on like that. Ben. Keep it going.
Got I feel home. Like I've had a similar...
Was it, it wasn't...
Yeah. Wait, were you...
No, it wasn't
you
me.
The lady?
Have you done modelling for Burberry?
No.
Anyway, and then so I got home, and then I wrote a letter in the morning thinking like, this is going to be the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And then just no reply.
Oh, God.
And then she was on buses at the time.
Jesus.
So I used to see her, but I had no way of...
Well, you could probably contact her through Instagram if you know who she is.
Well,
should we do a call out for her?
This was in like 20...
Okay. You still not, okay.
10 or something.
There was that amazing sort of...
Maybe she was just trying to get out of giving you her number.
She was, no, oh, God, she wanted to give me her number. I said, no.
Did you?
Give me your
Doesn't
address.
Sound like she did.
Anyway,
I love that sort of hour in the morning where you feel incredibly creative when you're hungover and you know the world feels like anything can happen. Talk about anything happening. You've got 366 recipes in this incredible diary. 2 years in, you decide to make something of it. Who gave you the inspiration to do that? What was the first thing you sort of got involved in the book?
No one really gave me the inspiration. It was just something that I thought I was going to do at some point, but obviously procrastinating, and then... just one afternoon I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to start this Instagram. I'm going to do the first recipe. And then I also decided to do a lot of the sort of social history attached to it. So obviously it's a diary, so each day of the year there's a recipe, but I also look into sort of what was happening in politics, fashion, food, like what was happening in like social side of it as well.
Well, your last post said Glad and Sorry by The Faces, one of my favourite songs of all time. Early 70s though, slightly...
Well, it's 1968, so once I've gone through the diary, I've realised that a lot of the pages are dated 1972, or like when she's writing her recipes, she'll put like a date at the top, or I say she, they.
You don't know?
I don't know if it's a man, I'm assuming it's a woman.
Have you created like a romantic...
Yeah, I think so, in my head. But
who are they in your head?
I feel like it was a woman who was at cookery school, and this was like her notepad to take down, notes of all of her recipes.
But is it every day?
Every day.
And one a day?
And one a day. Well, I don't know if she did it in real time one a day.
But she's
written it out like that.
Right, I see.
And what sort of weird things, apart from the food, has she written in there? Like shopping lists, or like Musk pick up the dog? Or
there's some like newspaper clippings and like magazine articles.
Wow.
Like some of them are like, best recipe to get a husband.
Oh my God.
Like, so single lady.
Maybe. I don't know. But
what is the best recipe to get a husband?
I don't know. You're asking
the person. I was actually doing a bit of research, looking into old diaries before I came here. By diaries, I mean recipe books from the 60s. Actually, my granny's. It's all in imperial sort of measurements, this one. And maybe she was German. Maybe it's slightly different. And also a lot of margarine being used. So what kind of... Is that the same with yours? And are there some weird ingredients?
There's ingredients that I personally wouldn't use. A lot of margarine. A lot of like gherkins. Some aspic, which is like a jello sort of to give it more thickness. And the recipes themselves are very like thick, salty, buttery. Right. It's just very of the time.
Yeah.
There's also some ingredients that are like harder to find than others. Cake decoration ingredients such as like candied angelica, which we just don't use anymore.
No.
And also like no photos. So you have to take this
no photo
creative step yourself. And
I feel like that actually works in my favor. So like if I've completely fucked up a recipe.
Yeah, you can say this is what it is.
Yeah, this is what it's meant to be.
What is the worst or like the weirdest recipe in the book so far? Or the worst tasting?
There was like a fruit salad with gherkins in it and like yogurt. So it was like fruit, yogurt, and then like gherkins on top.
I'm pleased I didn't. Is it called a Louisiana salad? There was something I'll have to mad check. That you made. I mean, I know it's her.
Yeah.
Or him.
I know it was not you, but odd stuff when I was looking through your Instagram.
Yeah, there's some really strange stuff. But like, that's the fun of it. Like, some of it's really, really tasty. And then some of it's just, I literally spend the whole day cooking it. And then I come to eat it and I'm like, I have to just chuck it in the bin because it's gross.
And also, you've done some supper clubs, one recently down in Kent where you're living at the moment. But also, you did one in France a couple of summers ago. And one at Terry's Caff, who was our last guest on the podcast.
Done one in the South France, one in London, and one in Folkestone now. So.
Wow.
People just seem to love it. It's just really fun.
What was on the menu for the last one?
The last one was, I tried to do stuff that's quite easy to make and like batch cook.
Yeah.
I'm not a chef. I couldn't cook for like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, I love to cook, but I'm not very good at like timings, that sort of thing. So I'll make stuff that I can sort of batch make the day before. I'm all about the sort of the fluff, the table decorations, the music. Like, I love hosting. Yeah. I love having people over for dinner. Yeah. Love cooking for guests. So, like, I'm all about that. So I try to just make stuff the day before, plate it up, make it look nice, and just make sure that everyone has a great time rather than...
That's all that matters.
It's what you did, basically. Your restaurant, didn't it? Really?
Yeah, people weren't guaranteed to have a great time, to be honest with you. No.
Yeah. Well, Kira Knightley enjoyed it.
Twice nightly, yeah.
Twice nightly. Let's talk about France, because obviously you're half French.
Yeah.
You go to Saint-Tropez every year.
Not obvious that you're half French.
Yeah, my mum's French.
From where?
She's from Paris, but I grew up in the south.
No, tell us about the south of France, because obviously we're going to talk now about being kids and going on holiday. You went to France every year. What do you look forward to the most, food-wise? And, you know, like, we used to drink champagne. I lived in Toulouse for a year, and that champagne you look forward to so much as a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, what did you look forward to food and drink-wise?
So what is champagne?
It's like a kid champagne, right? Yeah. It's like appetizer. Yeah. And you pop, but it's got, like, an actual cork, so you can pop it and celebrate.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So in the region where I grew up, there's a local dessert called a tarte parisienne, which is like, it's kind of like two sponges, really soft sponges put together with a sort of creme pat in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a local dessert of the area. And that's literally my favorite dessert of all time. I cannot wait to eat it like, every time I go down.
So would you have that for sort of breakfast almost?
I'd have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's literally my
Do you favorite. Live the French life though when you go? Do you have like, you know, boulangerie in the morning? Are we picking up croissants? I mean,
one time I went on holiday to South France and I literally got back and I had to go to the doctors because I was like, I had really bad like acid reflux. So I'd literally all I'd been eating for breakfast was like croissants. Lunch was like, you know, steak haché, frites. And then dinner was just, you know, whatever, pasta or...
Yeah.
But it was just for 2 weeks solid, I was just eating this with like just rosé, no water.
Well, rosé gives you awful heartburn, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not so you,
like,
one.
One. Well, now I'm just like trying to not eat too much of the like indulgent food.
What about you, Ben? Childhood memories, going on holiday. What do you look forward to? Come on, there must be something.
I'm trying to think. My childhood holidays were quite bleak.
Oh, really?
I was in places like the Saunton Sands and the Hythe Imperial.
Oh, good.
The Hythe Imperial?
Yeah.
Really?
You know the Hythe Imperial? Yeah. It's not what it was.
What's the Hythe Imperial?
It's like a hotel in Kent on the seafront. That's where I learned to swim.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know the pool there well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ruined it. Hythe Imperial was unbelievable.
Didn't you say that once you had a really weird like kids party where you had... like everyone wanted pizza and your dad made you eat like crab or something?
No, my dad had nothing to do with it. Wanted to go to a place called Rendezvous in Westrum, which was I went there. It's a mussel restaurant.
Right.
I think it still exists. So like every other kid's party when I was eight, you went to McDonald's and got like 20 nuggets and like, you know, all the stuff. And then I dragged the like 15, 8-year-olds to a mussel restaurant. And I think I was the only one eating.
Wow.
And everyone else just sat there looking fucking miserable.
What's your most sort of excitable location in, you know, Saint-Tropez, south of France? If someone's going to come and you go like, we're going here tonight, and you're just like, fuck me, I'm so excited to get back there.
So there's two places. So for lunch it would be Club 55, which is a
Saint-Consanc, if you want to give it its, you know, proper name.
Yeah.
We're cultured like, enough to take that in, I think.
I think a lot of the listeners could
do that. The food is like super basic, but it's so good.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like, I feel like in that part of the world you have so many like fancy places that are just trying to, you know, get
the Russians in.
You know, charge so much, whereas that's just like really good basic food, like pasta, escalope, milanaise, that sort of thing. Really nice, like salads.
Would you get the crudité to start?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And then for dinner, probably a Moroccan restaurant called Salama.
Okay.
They just do couscous, and yeah, it's delicious. Well, and we've been going there since, like, with my family since we were really young.
Wonderful Moroccan food in Marseille. Lived there for a couple of months in the summer.
Yes.
A lot of good North African
good food
there.
Generally in Marseille.
Is there a cookbook in the working for you? What's going on here? Because obviously you've got this incredible Instagram growing, you're on all these, you know, BBC shows and everything promoting the wonderful Forgotten Delights. But is there going to be something in the works?
I feel like if the right thing came about, I have quite a clear vision for the brand.
Give us the vision.
So I would really like to get a documentary commissioned to track down the woman who wrote the book and sort of turn it into, as well as food, but also have the sort of investigative journalism side of it, so that it's sort of like you're pulling in a thread and you don't really know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a true crime doc, but make it food.
Yeah,
I've pitched that. I've almost had it commissioned twice, and it's just sort of fallen through at the 11th hour, as these things do. But you know, sometimes just it's not right, it's not the right time. But I believe in the project and I know it's a good idea, so I think when the time is right and it with the right team and the right production company, I do think it could make a great documentary. I think it's a great story. So
I feel like we could get that made. I feel like we could
set
a target for ourselves.
Thing is, nowadays, you work for the BBC, surely you can pull some punches there. But, I mean, come on. Everything can go viral on YouTube. You don't need to have this huge production behind you.
You don't. And you know what? I'm a huge fan of true crime podcasts.
Start a food true crime pod.
I don't know. I just
Let's start it now.
Like it's so visual on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, I love my photography, love the colours, love the music, love all of that side of things. Also, a big part of it's not just the investigative side, but also the history side. It'd be such a shame for that not to, like, you know, all the 60s in Soho with the fashion and the music, you know, it's so colourful. It'd be a shame not to see that on screen.
Talking about colours, flavours, smells, I mean, what's that one smell which reminds you of your childhood food-wise? Because obviously your dad's English, am I right? Your mum's French. Did I read somewhere he was from up north?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Derby.
So you had like sausage rolls and kind of...
Yeah, it was like Bakewell tarts, egg sandwiches, that sort of thing, pies. And then my mum's Tunisian, so couscous.
Yeah.
My grandfather on my mum's side, he was an amazing chef. And he cooked everything from his garden, so he had a huge garden. He did like this Tunisian delicacy called a prik, where you just fill up a sort of phyllo pastry with loads of stuff and then deep fry it.
Oof. Oh yeah. How do you say that?
A prik.
And it, but it's spelt like
it's
brick.
It's spelt B-R-I-Q-U-E.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And couscous as well. So like my mum's amazing at making couscous. So like love that smell.
Do you make any of the recipes yourself? Your mum used to make or your granny?
I've been meaning to ask my mum for her couscous recipe, but I haven't got around to it yet. I feel like I've got my plate full with...
Yeah.
Forgotten the light stuff that I'm like,
but what,
you know, I think if I have the time.
What's your favourite recipe from your mum's? Is it one of those?
I'd say, her couscous.
Okay.
Probably, or bœuf bourguignon as well.
Oh.
What about you? You said, is your mum a good cook?
She's an atrocious cook, no.
Really? Appalling?
I'm afraid so, yeah.
What was her dish?
She probably doesn't listen. She does things like she would use tinned soup a lot.
Right.
To cook food. So like chicken breast, pour over cream of chicken, mushroom soup.
What made you get into being a chef then? If you're
to escape that. Genuinely.
Sounds like you were sort of a war child, like rations.
It was a bit like that, yeah.
Even though you're only sort of...
There's nothing romantic. It was not romantic or nice.
No. So basically it was a protein covered in different...
Protein covered in a soup.
A different canned soup.
With something like a pasta or a rice with it.
Okay.
It's pretty bleak. So yeah, I think from a very young age, I cooked instead of her.
Well, we're going to move on to your first section, which is drinks for go-tos. And Ben, what treats do you have in your bag today?
I've got my trusty thermos flask.
Well, it let you down a bit last week, didn't it? We couldn't get the ice out for about 10 minutes. We almost had to pay for extra time in the studio because we couldn't get the stuff out of the thermos flask. Hopefully that won't be the problem today. Obviously, it's not an alcoholic drink. None of us are drinking like last week. Actually, this is becoming like a sort of a clean show. I quite like it's right.
Yeah, it is a...
Yeah.
It's how we live.
As Ben sort of gets things ready, Georgie, before you did stop drinking, what was your go-to cocktail?
Spicy margarita.
Right, okay.
I'd say that's my go-to. I'm not a huge cocktail drinker, but if I had to have a cocktail, it would be a margarita.
Why aren't you a big cocktail drinker? You prefer just a glass of wine? It's more
too
classy.
Sugary.
Right, okay.
Like, I'd rather have a glass of champagne, like a cold glass of champagne.
What's your favourite champagne?
I drink anything really, Verve.
Okay, yeah, anything, Verve, ideally. Sorry, what do we have in, you know?
So I made a fresh raspberry lemonade.
Oh, wow.
There's little bits of raspberry in it.
Mm. Wow, that's incredible. Cheers.
Thank you. I'm actually really thirsty, so thank you.
Okay, well, it might be super tart.
What's in it?
So I just juiced a load of lemons and a sugar syrup.
Oh, no, that is
like
good.
A citron presse almost.
Oh my goodness.
But with sparkling water.
That is amazing. I mean, Georgie did say she didn't drink cocktails because she hates sugar, but that is incredible.
Yeah, but there's like puckering as well. It's not too sweet.
No, it's not too sweet because sometimes you do get them too sweet and you start having sort of an epileptic.
Me personally.
No, you.
I've had a bit of trouble with the drinks on this series.
You have, but this is going really well.
I feel like I smashed it today.
Bloody Mary last week was wonderful.
Really nice, yeah.
That is delicious.
Good, right?
Obviously, you're not too big a fan of the cocktails, but what drink would you have with a meal? I mean, you're set, obviously, change the season to season, but let's go. You're set in the south of France. What are you drinking?
Probably just like a Perrier, like a sparkling water. I know it sounds really boring.
It's not boring at all. I actually want to get into this.
When I'm eating, I just want to be refreshed. And like I said, I don't really drink wine. Well, I don't drink at all.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, just like refreshing sparkling water.
Perrier, Badoit. I mean, why do the French do fizzy water so well? And why do
they really do? Like better than the English.
Yeah. But it seems to be like a cultural thing to drink fizzy water. Here it's a bit like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like fizzy water, but yeah, it is grim here.
Yeah.
Sort of like big bottle of Highland Spring or something.
Yeah, it's horrible. Whereas it's classy in France. It feels like you're almost drinking champagne.
Especially when you say it with your accent, that makes it sound very classy.
Mine all.
Yours is also very good.
Mine's pretty good. Obviously, you haven't been hungover for a while, but we do like to ask on the show what people's hangover drink of choice was when they wake up feeling dusty, having made mistakes the night before. What is that hangover drink first thing?
Probably a Diet Coke. I need something like fizzy and like cold and like sweet in my mouth.
Yeah. Okay. So one Diet Coke and then on to what?
Just Diet Coke all day.
Really?
Diet Coke and sparkling water. Like I need the fizz.
Okay.
Mm. So I love bubbles. Like like I said, my drink of choice is champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Was champagne. And like I just like I love being refreshed. Like something cold.
Well, this is refreshing me right now. This wonderful drink.
This is really good. Like, this would be up there with like something I'd love to drink. Yeah.
You can, next time someone asks you, you could say
You can say Ben's homemade.
You could sell this. It's really good.
I might sell this, yeah.
Is that a recipe you found yourself or you just created?
No, I just had 7 lemons in my fridge.
Well, okay.
And so I thought that'll do. I'll do 7 lemons. And then I made a sugar syrup and then did raspberries. And then here we are. Fizzy water went in. I'd done a soda stream. I didn't buy Perrier or Badoit. I'm sorry about that.
SodaStream's fine.
I'm saving the planet.
Yeah, sorry, you were going to ask a question, Ben. I jumped in.
No, I was going to say, because I have arguments with people about fizzy water. It's more thirst quenching.
It is thirst quenching in the short term. But I think long term, it's not going to quench your thirst as well as still water.
Agreed. I lie in bed at night with a big bottle of fizzy water and the initial sip is amazing. Yeah, and then you're dehydrated. So you're actually up all night trying to rehydrate, but you feel like that first drink is...
But, I mean, it's totally worth it.
Oh, no, 100% it's worth it. You used to live in North London, right? And then you moved to East. Am I right or not?
Yeah.
Do you remember Ben's restaurants?
Was it so good?
It was called Le Coq. It was on Highbury Corner.
Probably. I mean,
it's almost no one who
said probably. I mean, it doesn't sound like you remember.
Highbury in Islington, I lived there for a very long time. It has a special place in my heart.
Hmm.
But some of my favourite restaurants there, like on Highbury Corner.
Go on, tell us what they are.
Trulo.
No, I love. Have you ever been to that little Chinese opposite the Emirates Stadium? Exxon Impression.
Oh, yeah.
That is so delicious.
Unbelievable. Hand pulled
like
noodles.
My favourite Chinese in London.
Right, you walk in there, what are you getting?
Hand-pulled noodles.
Okay.
With the ginger shredded beef. Chicken. The cold chicken.
Cold chicken. That was Max Halley of Max's Sandwich Shop's favourite restaurant in London.
Really?
That was his hidden gem. It's not really hidden.
It's a hidden gem. It was on my hidden gem list. Like, it's such a good restaurant.
Have I ruined your hidden gem?
No.
You ruined it yourself.
You ruined the podcast. I want to uncover more of these recipes in your diary without giving it all away. Anything you've ever been worried to eat, like you've cooked and you've gone like, this could potentially kill me and the person I've invited round?
So one time I had my friend Sarah over for dinner and I did like this whole like Halloween thing, because basically when I do the recipes I tried to have like a theme with it on Instagram, and this one, it was Halloween, the recipe, I had to make like lamb liver or something like that.
Oof.
I mean, like I said, I'm not a chef, so when it comes to preparing something like liver, I didn't know you had to like soak it in like
milk
or something like that to I just basically cook the liver, so like in the stew, it's like all the blood was like bubbling to the surface, and I was like, oh my
goodness, have I done?
I was like, I don't know how many of this. I'm literally having my friend over for dinner. I mean, it was great, and like I feel like that's the fun of it though as well. I always like film us eating it and stuff, but that I was like, the smell, I was like, oh my god.
She boiled the liver almost.
I boiled the liver, yeah, and then ate it.
Did she not warn you in the books? Or was it just sort of a known thing back then? People knew more.
Were like,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got some great press opportunities already off the back of it. What have been the sort of most enjoyable ones apart from this, obviously?
Woman's Hour on Radio 4 was a great one.
Okay.
Cool.
Shameless.
I love that show.
I think that's right.
For like years, so that was such an honour to be on that show. I completely bricked it, and I was just so nervous that I couldn't get my words out, so... It's something that I feel like I just can never listen to again. Yeah, it was live radio.
Was it in person or not?
No, it was over the phone.
Almost worse.
And then...
Much worse.
Naomi Campbell was on after me, and I was like, oh my God, how am I... This is just too much. I can't deal. And yeah, just completely cocked it up, basically.
No, you didn't. Don't
be silly. You didn't.
Well, the whole point of Women's Hour is, you know, they're hard-hitting questions, and it's quick, and it's informative. It's not going to be like...
It's not a warm hug from Ben.
No,
that's our specialty.
Raspberry
lemonade. Yeah. We're a lot nicer than Women's Hour.
We are, yeah,
aren't we? Let's get some food out because we're about to move on to Georgie's food. We're going to ask her all about her food go-tos. Do you have anything in the bag, or have you forgotten?
No, I've got loads in the
bag. Okay, go on. What do we have?
Well, that was a bit weird. I just sort of went for what you had put in February. My feedback to whoever's book it was is that what I've made is not very like wintry.
Okay.
So I'd done two recipes from the 17th of February.
Oh, and of mine?
Of yours, yeah.
Have you? Oh my goodness, I'm so touched.
That's all right. I mean, they're sort of like...
They're probably going to be so much better than mine.
No,
they're
not. What is it? Like sort of barbecue options or something?
No, I just...
What makes it so unwintery?
I've got my big...
This is the first time that someone's showed me that they've made one of my recipes. Well, not my recipes, but...
Well, no, your recipes.
Yeah, they're definitely your recipes.
And I feel like...
This is quite a beautiful moment.
Well, this is for later, and you...
Oh, wow, that looks amazing. What's
sandwich.
That? Oh, thanks.
Okay.
It's all right. But they're not for now.
Okay, we'll reveal what's in... They're actually even wrapped in 60s style as
well. I wanted to keep it...
It feels like we're going on a picnic in Wind of the Willows or something. This is incredibly
exciting. That's
sort of
what I'm going for.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving this.
This is my little plate. It clatters about a bit. Does that...
Oh, happen? We love clattering. I think that's why I keep in the eating, the clattering, the chewing, this everything. Even the disgust of the taste.
Oh, the eggs. Good one.
Yeah, but look, I fucked it.
Don't worry, you can redress them.
Let's redress them.
Okay, you start redressing. I'm going to ask Georgie, what's your go-to delivery order?
I love McDonald's. Like, McDonald's is just my favourite food.
We've had that three times now. McDonald's
or Thai.
What are you getting from McDonald's?
Double cheeseburger, but then I sort of customize it.
How?
Get rid of the pickles, get rid of the onions and all the sauces,
and the
put
burger.
In extra cheese, and then you dip it in sweet and sour sauce.
Well, they do that for you.
Yeah, or you just write it. Obviously, some chicken nuggets on the side.
Okay.
Six or nine?
If I'm by myself, six.
I was in a Leeds McDonald's at about 3 a.m.
What was
two nights ago. I can't actually remember. I got some chicken selects. I think I got a large... Double cheeseburger meal. I don't know. I sort of panicked in the queue. I was quite drunk. I didn't really know what was going on. Surrounded by Northerners who hated me.
Is the new McSpicy with Frank's hot sauce?
I feel like every time I stray away from my order in McDonald's, I get so disappointed. I'm just like, why did I do that?
Why did I experiment?
Yeah.
Just stay safe.
Someone once told me this order that they said was the best thing in the world. Which was, I think, a quarter pounder. Then they got mozzarella sticks. They got some weird salsa, and they like built this extra burger. A bit like what you're saying.
That's what I do with breakfast. I put my hash brown in.
Yeah, well, you've got to put the hash brown in. Yeah.
Well, what is your go-to breakfast? Let's jump onto that.
Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
Love
with a hash brown.
Egg McMuffin, hash brown.
But I mean, if you could have any breakfast ever, that would be...
You know, Egg McMuffin is up there, I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I love McDonald's.
Yeah,
like,
I love
McDonald's. So Egg McMuffin, I love like a fresh croissant, but a good one.
Yeah.
With a coffee.
But not a McDonald's.
You can't go wrong.
For that.
No.
No, okay.
Yeah, we were expecting some more sort of French, rustic breakfast items, and then we're just getting... The Egg McMuffin.
I just love McDonald's. And also what I love is if I go somewhere on holiday, I have to try the local McDonald's.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Like a must.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, let's go to this museum. I'm like, no. We need to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, they're like, Jesus Christ. Dish you cook the most midweek? Sorry, do you want to start handing those out?
Yeah, I also want to ask one breakfast question.
Yeah, please. So you go for it. Sorry. I'm getting ever excited.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But you both can ask this because you're both a bit French, right?
I'm not, but I will claim I am.
I thought you were a bit French.
Well, I lived in France for 3 months. Yeah. Actually, 6 months now.
That's enough.
So, yeah, maybe I'm a bit French. I don't know.
Would the big mug of chocolate or coffee and you dunk the baguette, is that a real thing?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I'm not a fan of it personally. So,
okay.
But yeah, it's a thing.
And then a thing called a goûter.
Yeah, goûter, like a quatre heures. That's like,
what is that?
Basically, it's like a mid-afternoon.
4 o'clock, is that what you just said?
I mean, my mum literally brought us up on quatre heures. It's like...
So I went to a place called, I can't remember what it's called. near Saint-Tropez, and I've stayed with this little French guy.
Yeah.
Sweet guy. And his 4 o'clock
was literally
it was like a sweet bit of bread.
Yeah,
sweet
like bread a brioche
with like
bun.
A fucking chocolate bar inside.
Yes.
I've what, seen
is that.
That
legit?
And you, yeah. Like, that's the thing. 100%.
I couldn't believe it.
I saw that on,
also, no one has to eat this.
Is her name Rachel Q? I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was doing it. Here we go. So what do we have here? Explain yourself.
What is the...
What, did,
whoever I mean, wrote the bloody book should explain
deviled
themselves.
Eggs.
It's a deviled egg.
With prawn.
With prawns. Yeah. But unfortunately, I heavily braked in my car on the way here, so they've ended up not looking the best.
Would you? Oh, so they sort
but
of...
It's sort of prawn mayonnaise, but with like curry powder.
Do we have other food as well? Because maybe we should just put it out in like a kind
well,
of...
Look,
because sometimes... Oh, sorry, yeah. Because sometimes we run out of time with food and we're sort of, you know, having to do extensions. Georgie, we're going to keep going because we need to know what is the dish you cook the most midweek?
I'd say just like a fish with fresh vegetables.
Okay.
I try to be pretty healthy in the week.
First date, someone comes back to your house. Oh, wow, that is incredible.
That looks
Max's
good.
Sandwich shop. You can eat his heart out. What's
is that
in
a
there?
Fish finger sandwich?
That's a fish finger sandwich.
Oh, wow, that
with
looks
tartar
great.
Sauce, but you don't like gherkins.
Oh, no, I do, just not in my McDonald's, because then it overpowers that taste.
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
I love gherkins.
Here, that's fine. Because I made your tartar sauce, and I made my own little fish.
That looks amazing. We may need to get like a hold-up just to the camera.
You go
there.
And do that to the camera.
Should I do that?
And I'll just open the other one and not cut it like such a menace.
Look at that. Max's sandwich shop. Eat your heart out. If you were going to have somebody come around, girlfriend, boyfriend, you're trying to impress them on a first date, what are you going to cook for them at home? I'm not saying going out to eat.
I feel like my pièce de résistance is a cheesecake.
Okay. So just like, no savoury, just go straight to sweet.
I can make savoury, but I really love like making cakes and desserts and stuff. Like I have such a sweet tooth.
What's the best cheesecake you've done?
I make like a Biscoff cheesecake.
Oh.
Yeah. People really love that.
Obviously, we've worked out that drinking is not a thing anymore, but if you're going to eat your sins away in the morning, what are you going to be eating for a hangover cure? Forget the Diet Coke, or maybe you're nursing a Diet Coke whilst you eat.
McDonald's.
Fucking hell, Jesus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens if there's no McDonald's near you?
Okay, like I love, like you can't beat like toast with like butter and Marmite or crumpets with butter and Marmite. I'm such a Marmite fan. I actually love it. Like you can't go wrong with crumpets.
No, crumpets are
or
great.
Toast. Like toast is just so good.
There's something really reassuring about crumpets, but also toast.
Like maybe if you just go for like a plain white bread.
Yeah. But also maybe being like sent away from your family at a young age. And you're
I feel like we have an affinity to toast.
Yeah, and you're only like...
That's the comfort,
refuge comfort was a piece of slightly burnt toast. And probably Flora, because the school didn't have butter.
Oh my God.
Which was horrible.
Being like transported back to my...
Well, let's talk school food quickly. What are your memories of it?
I feel like we were quite lucky.
Oh yeah.
Like 100%. We had good school food.
Yeah.
Did you?
I mean, I obviously loved a dirty pizza at school, Jasper's.
Yeah. Jasper's.
Like, what is a dirty pizza?
Like a deep pan, like kebab style pizza.
Turkish kebab shop in the corner of a road in Canterbury.
Run by a man called Jasper?
Yeah. Probably not Jasper.
Somewhat Jasper at some point.
Jasperate, maybe.
Okay.
More of like a deep set quiche pizza baked in an oven.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was quite extraordinary. Obviously, we touched on it slightly earlier, but the most nostalgic food, which comes to mind for you?
Probably a French pasta called courgette.
Okay,
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like a mini macaroni. And then like my mum always used to make it for us when we were younger.
So what's she doing to it?
Just like butter and immortal. I know it sounds really plain, but it's so good.
Amazing. So just cook the pasta and toss it with butter and cheese?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What are the best sort of French staples in the supermarket we can't get here? Which would make our lives a lot better if we could?
I feel like French mustard is like next level. It's like top tier. Mm.
Yeah.
Garnichon.
Yes.
Like every time my mum goes to France, which is often, we always give her like massive shopping lists.
Yeah.
Also, you get like really good tin stuff in France, like confit de canard, petit salé, like just like, I know it's just like meat in tins.
Yeah.
Which is probably to the French is like really dirty, but to our, I'm like, me and my family love it.
Yeah.
So, like, and then courgette, which is our favourite pasta. So, we always like, get my mum to bring back courgette, petit salé, confit de canard, and like a good foie gras.
Oh, good.
Which you can just like get in the supermarket. It's just French supermarkets are just the best. I definitely see myself living in France.
Not to lower the tone, but what's your favourite meal deal combination? We ask everyone. If you're on a service station the way somewhere,
love a Ploughman's.
Okay.
Nice.
Can
you get a Ploughman's in a meal deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play. Sir.
I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah,
like cheese and pickles.
Cheese and pickles.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, cool.
And then I love squares.
Yeah, yeah. What flavour?
Squares are so, they only do something like that.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, no.
I feel like squares are like...
Yeah, I thought they'd be a bit more innovative and go like, there are other flavours out there, but fair play.
No.
Okay,
so. No. Squares is like, it's so satisfying eating them.
So salt and vinegar squares.
Plowman's and then a Diet Coke.
And a DC.
I could get on board with that.
That's probably the best combination we've had.
Yeah.
We've had some really weird ones. Obviously talking about escaping the city, you're living in Kent. Where are your favourite sort of places to eat down there? Because obviously you live in East London, you were living in the hippest neighbourhood in arguably Europe, and then suddenly
Let me
Kent.
Tell you something. The places to eat where I live now are top tier.
Really? Like, okay. Well,
there's two restaurants, two places I eat on a regular basis, and I just can't get enough. First one is the Folkestone Wine Company. And yeah, they just do amazing seasonal food. Dave, the chef there, he was a chef at the Goods Shed in Canterbury for years. And then they started their own restaurant in Folkestone. And it's probably one of my favourite restaurants in the whole world.
Best
I love
thing
it.
You've eaten there?
They do a really good dessert called a chocolate marquise. It's like chocolate ganache square with like cream and this ginger sauce. It's so good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's one of my favourite restaurants of all time. And then there's a Belgian pub called The Old Boy. The menu's pretty basic, but they just do like moules frites and then a Flemish beef stew, which is like local Belgium stew. Yeah, yeah. And Thierry, the chef, is just incredible. This stew is just next level. So if you guys are ever in Folkestone, definitely go and
check
out.
That sounds great, yeah.
So you think it shits all over Hackney? Forget Hackney and all the special food scene.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hackney will always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, my hidden gem is in Hackney, but...
Go on, tell us your hidden gem in Hackney.
Uchi, Japanese. Oh, yeah. It's literally my favourite sushi restaurant in London, and I feel like... I mean, maybe it's a bit more... I mean, when I first moved to Clapton, it was... No one really knew about it. And, yeah, it's just the most...
What makes it so good, though?
It's just really basic Japanese food.
Does it look dodgy from the outside? Place you wouldn't normally go in for sushi, and then suddenly it's amazing.
It's just... It's not flashy or anything. It's just really... Like whitewashed walls, really fresh sushi, simple basics, nothing over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really good Japanese food.
Obviously, you've got two incredible places to eat in Kent. But if we move back to London and you had a reason for celebration, you wanted a celebratory supper, where are you going?
I feel like sometimes I just want to go somewhere bougie. Like, I love Japanese, like Nobu. Yeah.
And what would you be ordering there?
I love the lobster salad. Can't go wrong. It's so good.
Can you talk me through the lobster salad?
It's like iceberg lettuce with like... chunky bits of lobster on. So I really like simple things.
Genius from Nobu.
So it's just like, and then it's got this ponzu dressing, which is just next level.
Yeah.
It's really simple, but so good.
Yeah. It's all you need, good seafood and simple, right?
Bit of iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, easily pleased.
Yeah.
Best place for a date in London?
Probably the Pulopo in Pimlico.
Yeah, it's a great little place.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's just so romantic, isn't it? And the food's incredible. You just can't go wrong.
Apparently hasn't changed in about 50 years. I've heard, but in a good way. Mm. Like that sort of classic French food doesn't really change, does it?
No.
Have you been there?
Yeah, a lot.
I'm just taking a bite into Georgie's tartar sauce. What is different about this to a classic one? Or is there any differences?
Can I try?
Yeah, please.
Nothing really. I don't think.
Oh.
I think if you were going full tartar sauce, you might do a bit more sort of like cookie shenanigans with some shallots and stuff. But I'd say it's pretty workable.
You didn't make the fish fingers yourself?
I did. It's hake.
You really?
Yeah, I breaded some hake.
Oh my god.
Cooked it off.
I thought you just bought this.
Is it all right though?
Yes, delicious.
Okay, sweet.
I was just thinking you had bought the fish fingers.
I never buy anything. I did buy the bread, to be honest. Is it all right?
The bread's good bread.
It's your tartar sauce.
It's so good.
Yeah,
that is very good. As Georgie enjoys that, I enjoy it. Are you not going to join us on the fish finger voyage?
I did, to be brutally honest. Yeah. I ate about two of these before I came.
Really? Where's the best place to get pizza in town? We ask everyone. Well, we ask.
People. Some of the guests. We've asked some of them.
Have you been to Crispy Pizza?
No.
Chances.
Oh, no. Crisp W6?
Yeah.
No.
So good.
But that's hypey, right? People like loving that.
Really good pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Have you given us a pizza recommendation before?
You know what I found out yesterday? My local boy.
Yeah, you know.
Good. My local pizza restaurant is run by a bloke. And we just go there because we think, I mean, it's just like one little site, he runs it on his own. Yeah. And then I discovered yesterday that he's got like something like 150,000 followers on Instagram.
Jesus.
And it's like this really well-respected, it's called Patio Pizza.
Okay.
In Kingston-upon-Thames.
Right.
It's unbelievable. That is my...
What did you order?
He does, I often get one with no tomato and then like broccoli and like a spicy fennel sausage.
Oh, yeah.
It's like really good.
Have you heard of
the Babagoni in Finsbury Park's good as well.
Yeah. Mm. You and Matt, have you met Max Alley?
No.
That was his.
Yeah. Do you know Max's sandwich shop, the place?
There's no reason why you should. Well, it's just you literally have the same restaurant taste.
Really? Well, yeah. Max has great taste.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Have you heard of the bread stall? North Korea, the guy does half a savoury, half a sweet. So it's kind of like an old Cornish pasty. So you get like a classic, you know, whatever, Diavola. And then, sorry, it's two-thirds savoury. And then he does a crust full of Nutella. Same pizza. Absolutely cuts it off. So then you get like a nice pudding to go home with, which is a lovely touch.
Quite a nice flex you just did there with the pasty knowledge.
Well, oh yeah,
that was the thing, wasn't it? That you'd eat two-thirds
savoury. Well, I'm just throwing it out there. This is, you know, loosely approved podcast.
I think it's worth focusing the fact you know that.
What about a club or bar which has never let you down? I mean, I don't know what that really means, that question, never let you down. But I suppose you've always had a good time there.
I'm not like a clubby person.
What about a bar or a pub?
Oh, I mean, my favourite pub is in London.
Go on.
What is it?
The Cow in Notting Hill. The food there
is great.
The vibes. I mean, I've literally been going there for years. It's my favourite pub.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong with the
Notting Hill's there. A bit of a schlep to get to there, isn't it? If you don't.
Not if you live there.
Yeah, well, not if you fucking live there, obviously. But I mean, like, it is transport wise quite.
One of my best friends literally lives right next to the Cow, so we go there all the time.
David Beckham used to live near the Cow.
We want to know, what is your dream long weekend getaway, an itinerary? So you've got a weekend four, and by long weekend it's 4 days, right?
Friday to Monday night.
UK only or?
No, anywhere in the world. I would say leave Thursday night. You wake up in the place on Friday.
Yeah, that's nice. Leave Sunday night. Yeah.
Get back for work on Monday.
Oh, really? You get the red eye on Sunday night?
You have to, yeah. It's horrible.
Have to be Paris.
Yeah. And what are you doing? Take us through the weekend.
What I love to do is to go to Paris, get an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally just done this with one of my best friends.
Anywhere in particular? Like, are you in a particular arrondissement?
I love this Airbnb I usually get. It's in Saint-Germain. And I just
Saint-Germain's a bit young families there, isn't it?
Don't start, come on.
No, but isn't it? That's a question.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's an amazing place to be. Like,
is it?
Yeah. I think I go more for that Airbnb, which I love.
No, I agree. Sorry, I don't know why I jumped in. But,
and then I just spend my days sort of going to my favourite restaurants, cafes, picking up treats along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll never make dinner reservations because I just want to get back and like get into my pajamas, like watch a film and eat everything that I bought in the day.
That's nice.
Okay, so like, what are you picking up on in the day?
Picking up like macaroons, I'm picking up pastries, I'm picking up, you know, patisseries, like just anything and
nothing savoury.
I mean, obviously you've got to get like the just plain salty crisps, the like French ones, you know, they're like
French crisps, that's another thing we forgot to talk about. French crisps.
And then just like when you go home, you just want to get like comfy ASAP, put on a good film, and like then you just go to bed really early and then do the same thing the next day.
Sounds absolutely idyllic.
It's my dream.
Did you ever think about just getting stuff shipped over and staying at home?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really seem like sense. You know what I mean?
But it's like the whole sort of motion of doing it. So you drive there.
Yeah.
So we'll get the Euro tunnel and then you do a little road
driving,
trip.
Driving, that's nice.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's only 2 hours from Calais.
Correct.
And I usually would stop and see my aunt on the way.
Where's she?
Just outside Paris.
Unbelievable.
Georgie, you've been absolutely wonderful. Obviously, we're looking forward to seeing where Forgotten Delights goes. We're big fans, big followers. Final question. Of every item you've mentioned today, your own creations, you know, other places, other locations, whatever, what are the three dishes you would sort of save? They don't have to be start main pud, but just three dishes that you would like sort of pick from your sort of go-tos, whether it's from the Chinese, whether it's from Paris.
So starter would be sushi from Uchi.
Nice.
Main would be a double cheeseburger from McDonald's with all your stuff. Yeah. And then my dessert would be a tarte aux parisiennes from Saint-Tropez.
And just talk us through that tarte one more time.
So it's like a very soft kind of brioche sponge, really like fresh and like bouncy, two layers sandwiched together with like a creme pat in the middle, and then it's got sugar. It's like really simple but so good. Yeah. And it's just got sugar like sprinkled on top.
And then maybe one of Ben's fish finger sandwiches. Or,
I mean, this sandwich is so good.
Georgie/Georgie X Ben. I think that's what the kids do. You know, sandwich combination to take home. Georgie, you've been absolutely wonderful. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to rate, comment, leave us a comment, because that actually helps us, and share it with some friends. And we'll see you all next week with another guest. But Georgie, thank you so much. Good luck with Forgotten Delights. Good luck with everything. Ben, see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Georgie.